Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome, and with us today we have Jen from a traveling RV, which is so cool, and originally from Ohio. Jen, thank you for being here today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So I just want to like preface it by kind of telling people how I reach out for guests. Some people contact me because they're homeschoolers and they, you know, are trying to like market a product that they came up with. So they'll reach out to ask if they can come on and talk about homeschooling and their products. Other times people heard me on Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat and were like, hey, I'd love to come on and talk about homeschooling. But then other times I just think of things that I want to talk about. And so I find Facebook groups that are homeschooling and ask, hey, these are the topics I want to cover. Who can help me out with this? And you came into the comments with a interesting story that I'm kind of excited to hear about and a little nervous about an intimidation factor that happened for you with the school. So before we get started with that, how many kids do you have and how long have you been homeschooling?
So we have three at home. One is four, so she's not. And then we have a 9-year-old and a 16-year-old. And we began homeschooling in 2020 when I think a lot of us realized that something a little bit crazy was going on in our schools that we were not aware of before.
And now, is that why you are kind of traveling around in an RV as part of your homeschooling, or is there more to that?
So that definitely helped propel both situations. At first, I started talking about the RV, you know, and you have to give your husband or your partner a good couple months to process what you're talking about when it's something so off the wall. So that happened. And then I think like 2 months later is when we decided to do the homeschooling route. And we began with just Paisley, which is our 9-year-old. But then William, our 16-year-old, also started as well. Once we get into the story of that, it will make more sense. So, and then, you know, my husband started a traveling position, so now we're able to travel to different states and homeschool, and it's been great.
So do you like visit different things along the way? Is that part of kind of your homeschooling thing? Like where can we, what national parks or museums or kind of historic events can we visit along the way?
So because it happened so quickly from when my husband interviewed to when he started his job, there was a, I think it was 14 days, maybe 15, that they wanted us to wrap everything up and make it across country to Colorado in our RV with our family. And so although we lived in a home that travels, it isn't necessarily as easy as like, oh, just packing it up. Packing in general when you're a parent is exhausting, right? So it's like that. It's a little bit worse sometimes. So we initially just drove and we had such a limited time to get here that we left our RV back in Ohio, drove across the country essentially, and then after a month or so, my husband flew back and drove back with his father. Moving forward, that's what we will do. When we know that we're going to a different location, we'll be able to map it out and say like, okay, we want to hit these states, or you know, but even while we're here, we try once a month to set something that is different or unique to where we are and make that happen for our family.
Yeah, that's so true. Because we went on a play date this morning and I only have the two kids, and it was like three huge bags of things and a bike on the bike rack, like just to go for like a 3-hour play date. It took multiple trips to the car. So I can definitely understand how it would be hard to travel around, even if you are in an RV. So why don't we go into what happened with like the school trying to intimidate you about wanting to homeschool your children?
So I guess a little backstory on Paisley, again, our 9-year-old. So she has a rare genetic disorder. She was number 527 years to have been diagnosed. And the symptoms are many, movement disorder, muscle disorder. And the only way to control her disease is to be on the medical ketogenic diet. So not like the fad diet. It's very specific. Goodness. We have to put everything into a calculator. It has to hit 8 different ratios. You have to weigh out every individual item. And she has to consume 100% of those within 30 minutes. So,
no, wait, what was this called?
Yeah, so her disease is called glucose transporter deficiency syndrome. It's GLUT1 for short.
Oh.
But it has nothing to do with gluten. Wow. So her brain is essentially allergic to sugar. So we have to starve her brain of sugar and force it to use fat to run correctly. So because of a ketogenic diet, we've been able to control her seizures for years. We've only had 2 breakthroughs in 8.5 years. With that being said, obviously, we have to be very careful at school. You know, she can't eat anything. We have to make and send her items. She has to make, they have to make sure that she's consuming all of her food and so on. So when COVID started, I know the first year was kind of, you know, a lot of online things. But when they went to go back, they she had had a note from her doctor that she was not allowed wearing a mask for multiple reasons. She has seizures and she has a speech disorder, correct? So she comes home one day, we find a mask. She starts crying, saying, "They told me not to tell you." So I do a FOIA request asking for all communications and the nurse, you know, just in general. And I get the FOIA, which is the Freedom of Information Act, which you're able to do. So I get the communications back and there's an email from the nurse, the nurse at that school, that is bragging about how they make Paisley wear a mask and for her to lie to us about it. So if I have to have so much trust in other people that you are not going to give my daughter something that could kill her or be deadly or give her seizures so bad that could impact the rest of her life. Like, how do I have that kind of trust in you if you can't even follow a doctor's note, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously that was the moment that I'm like, and we're out. Like, I'm done. This is insane. Like, I, at this point, I feel like we're putting her at risk to send her to school. So I go per Ohio. You have to do your notification of intent. And this was in 2021, I believe, at like March of 2021. So the laws have actually changed now on what you legally have to do. But at the time, you had to get your notification of intent, a copy of your curriculum and any materials that you would use, and then send it to the superintendent of the school. That's what you legally have to do. Now, you know, depending on where you are in your homeschooling journey, you will understand the difference between legally and what the school tries to tell you that you have to do, right?
Mm.
So I legally did what I was required to do. I sent in the notification and the curriculum, and I sent it to the superintendent via email. They do recommend that you mail it just so that, like, certified mail, just so you have that copy. But the superintendent responded to me and thanked me and said if we had any questions moving forward to let him know. So we just go on with our life. I start receiving phone calls every day, emails from the teachers and the principal. And they're telling me that Paisley's still enrolled. I didn't do what I legally had to do. I legally had to send it to the Board of Education and they had to approve her homeschooling. And I kindly told them that per the law, nobody is approving anything, that I am the parent. I have the right. I did what was legally required. So I'll stop there for a second, just in case you have any questions.
And you're right when you said, depending on where you are in the homeschooling journey. So I think to direct people to HSLDA, I believe I have the acronyms correctly, that tells you what your laws are in each state. It is so important to know what your laws are. I mean, wow, I can't imagine like how intimidating that is just alone right there.
Well, and I think that is the point. Thankfully, because I had to have my daughter diagnosed with rare disease, intimidation does not come easily to me. You know, when she was diagnosed after a year of fighting for her and her doctor telling me that I was essentially being dramatic in kinder words, I told my grandma at the time, I said, well, now we know why God made me a bossy person, you know? So I send everything in. They're still contacting me. They're telling me that she's truant. I also will add that she had another doctor's note on file that she would have excessive absences because of her disease. So the truant thing wasn't really possible, but whatever. So then I get a letter from the courts for truancy. So I call the courts. I tell the lady who was so kind, what was happening. Explain the situation. And she said, unfortunately, this happens far more than you would ever want to know. She said, if you bring everything that you filed, the judge will pretty much just dismiss this case. So the next week, we have court on Thursday, Tuesday morning. And I'll add a little bit of personal information and just as like another part of it, because so our door was open, like our screen door was shut, but our door was open because our youngest, who I mentioned before, is 4 now. We had her through the kinship care program. So we had custody of her. Like if we hadn't stepped in, she would have gone into foster care, but kinship is like the family version of foster care. So the caseworker was coming that day for a visit. So that is why my door is open. We're just waiting for that. You know, they have to come for their monthly visits just to make sure everything's okay. And we had just filed for custody of her. So all of a sudden my door, like my dog, who is a massive, like 80-pound dog, runs out the door. And a guy like slams him in the door. And I'm like, what is even happening right now? So I walk down. Mind you, okay, so this is Tuesday. And then again, we have court for the truants on Thursday. So I go down and it's 3 district members. With the principal, who I had already had not kind words with. It is 2 other employees from the district office. And they say, oh, we're here to give you the paperwork for Paisley's IEP meeting. And I'm like, you guys, I've spoken to you. Like, you're well aware she is no longer enrolled in school. We're not doing an IEP meeting. This, like, whatever. So then they're like, no, she's still enrolled. You haven't sent anything in. So I get my phone. I open it up, show them the email from the superintendent to the superintendent with his reply. And I'm like, there you go. There's your confirmation. Well, that's not the form that you have to use. So in the paperwork that they brought me with the IEP meeting, they included the forms for notification of homeschool. So I brought them out and I showed them the 2 and they were the same. So then it came and she said, well, she's already truant. And I said, well, she's not. She has the doctor's note on file. So she's not truant. Like, she can have excessive absences, even if it happens. Like, she's had to miss weeks. Like, she's been hospitalized where it's been, you know, 12 days in the hospital. So anyways, the principal at this time, she goes, well, I rejected that doctor's note. So she isn't. So she is truant. So she, the principal, tells me that she rejects the doctor's note saying Paisley will have excessive absences because of her disease, including C seizure. Tells me that she rejected it. So I obviously, again, probably not so clean. This is about like a 20-25 minute conversation of them just trying to lie, trying to intimidate me, trying to make me feel like I've done something wrong. And thankfully, like, as I said, I'm not one. I'm probably one of the worst ones. If you had to choose, like, oh, let's choose a parent to try and intimidate, I'm not the one you would put on the top of the list. So, but Paige had an IEP. She had speech services. They're occupational and physical therapy. So they want to lose that money. That's a lot of extra money. That's a lot of those services. So anyways, I asked them to kindly leave. I tell them, I said, as they're leaving, I'm like, I don't even understand why you guys would do this. We have court this week. You would have been proven that she is unenrolled. And the gentleman says, well, I said, I've talked to everybody. I've talked to lawyers. I've talked to the HS, the, I'll let you say the acronyms again. I've talked to them. I've talked to everybody.
Yes,
I did everything legally required. And he said, well, best luck to you. You might have talked to a lawyer, but we have what are called prosecutors. So they left. CPS came, the caseworker, and I was a mess. And thankfully, she was aware of what was going on, and it had zero effect on anything. But I called the superintendent immediately, honestly, like, excuse me, what is happening? And within 2 hours of that phone call, I finally got an email with Paisley's withdrawal attached, saying that they approved her withdrawal.
So then did you still have to go to court?
Nope. They dropped everything.
So
you know how, like, when you do your notification, they have, I believe maybe 6 weeks to send you back the, like, the, I want to say approval, but also, like, you don't need their approval, that they received your notification and they're removing them from.
We've received it. Yeah.
Right. So they accept it. Well, nobody had sent me that letter. So they kept trying to play the game because they hadn't had anybody send the letter yet. I don't care if you send the letter or not. That doesn't make what you're doing any more legal. So yeah, it was pretty telling that, again, within 2 hours max, probably sooner, of me talking to the superintendent, the case was dropped, the truancy case was dropped, and I received Paisley's letter within that time. So to add on to that, obviously at that point, I'm like, there's not a chance in God's green earth that any of my children are going to the school district, because y'all have lost your mind.
If you're anything like me, you're up at 5 and by 9:30, you're about to pour your third cup of coffee. But we all know that that is probably not the best option. So I want to introduce you to Jibby Mushroom Coffee. I know, I was kind of grossed out by this concept too, but I boiled some water, scooped in my tablespoon, and added some milk to make a mushroom latte. And to my surprise, this was actually really good. It has like a chocolatey, nutty flavor. And I did not have the jitters like I normally do after that third cup of coffee. Jibby Coffee is powerful, clean, and has safe ingredients from Arabica coffee, which provides you energy and antioxidants, collagen protein for your skin, hair, and joints, lion's mane for focus and clarity, turkey tail for gut health, MCT oil for mental clarity, and ashwagandha for mood support. Hey, we could all use a little bit of that, right? And even if you're not a 3 cup of coffee in the morning kind of person like myself, around 2:30 is probably when you start to crash. And this is the perfect alternative to that regular cup of coffee. 30 servings goes for $50, but I can save you 20% off if you use my link, which is in the show's description, and use the code Cheryl20. That's Cheryl20. I really don't think you're going to be disappointed with this. But if you are, you can get a full refund within 30 days. This coffee is made in America and they offer free shipping. You really can't go wrong here. So grab the link in my show's description and use code Cheryl20, CHERYL20, for 20% off of your order. You can also grab the link on my website, thehomeschoolhowto.com, under listener discounts.
So that night, I prepared Williams, my 16-year-old. I prepared his notification and curriculum, emailed again to the superintendent, and received his acceptance of that within, I would say, 4 hours of sending that.
I mean, and I know you said that it had to do with funding, but it's like, this isn't a private company, okay? These people work for, like, the school system. Their paycheck is the same, like, no matter what, if your daughter gets her services through there or is enrolled there or not, like, their salary isn't changing. So it's just so crazy to me to think that, like, these people are coming down like, we need the money, you must go intimidate the mom. Or is it like, are numbers looking that bad for schools that they're like, we can't lose one more? Or, you know what I mean? It's like, who cares that much that they're like, you cannot make decisions for your child, you know? I maybe in a situation where you think the child is, like, really getting abused, but in that case, you would turn it over to authorities like police or CPS. You wouldn't go intimidate them yourself. So it just doesn't make sense to me that schools, like the people that work at the schools, these government workers or state workers, care that much. Why is it, do you think?
Well, and there was something, and I can't remember. They did bring CPS up at 1-8, and I'm like, I absolutely dare you. Like, you went across that line, buddy. And had it not been for us going through the legal case to get full legal custody of our now 4-year-old, I would have gone as hard as I could against suing this school in every capacity, because I couldn't handle it. I was like, you know what? I'm done. We're safe, and that's it. I think that there's a few reasons. I think that the showing up of the district members kind of helps the case of, like, the money, because why on earth would two other members from the district office show up? I also think that there was a power struggle. That principal did not like me. She didn't like not having the power. She didn't like that I knew the law. She didn't like that she could not control me. And it's terrifying. But again, you have a nurse saying she does not care what a doctor says about a child, a rare disease. So much so, he's willing to harm her. Like, what if that, putting that mask on, I mean, it obviously has so many effects as it is, but what if it had caused her to have a seizure per se? Like, I mean, there's just such an ideology, and it was not, like, we did not live in, like, a liberal or democratic area. We were in a very conservative school district where it was like 70-80% conservative. So, you know, you have people that think like, oh, it won't happen in my area. Well, then you're not paying attention to what is happening.
That is so true, because I'm in New York and we talk all the time about, like, oh, we could move to Tennessee or move to Florida. But it's like, you know, but who's to say that it's not exactly like elections are fair. So who's to say that the person we would want would win there or be in charge, you know, and, you know, things could easily change. So what's the point in moving? I mean,
right. Well, and because we're in Colorado right now. So coming from essentially a red state to a blue state was a little bit terrifying for me of like, oh my God, you know, you hear like the transgender things and what's happening in Colorado and the crazy laws that are being passed. But the homeschooling community in Colorado Springs has been like 5,000 years ahead of conservative Ohio. Like it's been the opposite that you would assume. I don't think we're really necessarily safe anywhere anymore.
Right. But just the fact of like the nurse not going by either, you know, your wishes, which we knew in the schools they weren't doing anyway, because the parents that didn't want their kids masked, they were like, yeah, it doesn't matter. They're masking here, even if there's no science behind it. And it's an experimental, you know, process, but, or whatever the word is, but the fact that she went against the doctor is like, so any situation now, we cannot trust the care of our child with these people. And I just shared something on my Instagram the other day that I was listening to the Macro Aggressions podcast. And they had this woman on that was talking about how there's a law that is currently in effect right now that says that if your child is in a daycare or school setting and we are in a state of emergency, which they have declared for climate change, that we are currently in, that they, it's called the Reunification Act or something. They can keep your child and not give them back to you at the end of the day. And so, of course, I mean, I looked it up and it is a lot of legal jargon. This is what the woman says that this law means. I can see where, like, they start the law, the act, by talking about illegal aliens, but I can see where along the line, being my experience working in the government, that things get changed, you know, down the line to, oh, let's take that word out, and now it is for the general public. So it is really scary. And things like, you know, there was the school shooting and, like, you know, parents weren't allowed to get in to get their kids. And I understand that there's reasons for that, but it is just terrifying to think I don't have control. Like, it's my child, but people are in charge of what happens to them and I'm not in charge. That is such a terrifying, like, thought. And even my nephew last year, like, he got in trouble at school for having a cell phone out. So they took away the cell phone. They wouldn't give it back to him until a parent came and got it. So, like, he went home from school that day and, you know, he could have been home alone or whatever and needed the cell phone. And I understand we didn't have cell phones for centuries, but in his life, that's all he knows. He didn't have it. What if he had to call his mother for something? And the school is just saying, like, this is your property. You're not getting it back until a parent comes. And even that is overstepping. I can see taking it, but you give it back to him at the end of the day when he leaves your property.
Right. Well, and we can use the argument that, yes, we once lived without cell phones, but we had home phones. And that most people don't have home phones now. So if you're taking somebody's cell phone, then they have no way to communicate. So that's not even a realistic
thing. Yeah. What if the house was on fire? Or what if he broke his leg? Yeah, and needed to call 911. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about calling a parent. Yeah. If you need to call 911.
Or even a parent. We live in an RV, but even at our house, we didn't have a traditional phone, so, or a landline. We have cell phones. So prior to 2020, prior to COVID, my husband and I were completely, and by completely, I mean part of the problem, I guess, like, had never registered to vote, had never voted, just believed our government cared for us. Makes me so insanely sick to even think that I was so naively ignorant. 2020, you know,
the start of... I might have been worse because I voted for Hillary and Obama. I was registered, but I voted for Hillary and Obama.
Okay, so we're just as bad. We're both part of the problem, right? But that's awesome. I did not know that. Not awesome that you did, but obviously that you, I'm assuming, have woken up like I have, yeah. Right? And you didn't have trust in the government. You just probably thought it was the Russian government that was doing it and not ours. But either way, just so completely unaware, and you're sending your kids and I think our education system does this on purpose, but you just think that these people have your and your children's best interests at heart, that, you know, that they care for them. And obviously there are good people in any situation, but they'll infiltrate everywhere, including schools, including preschools. And if you're not paying attention, then your children are in danger of these people.
Yeah. Everything from the transgender stuff to just, you know, confusing them and depression and that sort of thing. And then you get the bullying and the school shootings and teaching history that isn't, like, leaving stuff out and leaving out cursive and putting in other things like, you know, the critical race theory. I mean, there's so much, this whole anti-American sentiment in the schools that, yeah, there's really, it's like I started out this podcast a little bit over a year ago, and my first episode was why I want to homeschool, but also why I'm afraid to homeschool. After talking to homeschoolers for a year, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I would have sent them there. Like, it's just grown exponentially, the reasons to homeschool.
Yeah, and I think that's even the concept of, like one of my best friends will say, she's like, well, what do they do, you know, all day? How does he get a diploma? And that seems crazy to her, that we only have to do maybe an hour and a half of schooling, that some days we don't do schooling, and then other days we do 3-4 hours. When we first get to Colorado and we stay at a hotel, we meet a family from Sweden, I hope it was Sweden, and then Europe, and a lady that said she was Ukrainian Russian. So I obviously not asking for further details of what that means in this time. My children in that week got more of a history lesson from these three individuals and families than they would in 2 years of sitting down being told to read something. So anyways, I say that with,
yeah,
for her, it's crazy to look at our life and our schedule. And for me, I'm like, do you not think it's crazy that we send our children to school for 8 hours a day to sit at a desk, to come home and do hours of homework? That, to me, now that I'm outside of that, I guess, societal norms and societal expectations, is insane. It's insane. I'm like, that is not normal.
And yes. And they're not coming out, and I could say this for myself too, I did not come out of 13 years of, you know, the regular high school and all that, and then 4 years of college, and I still didn't have a clue what to do with my life, and neither do my sister's kids that have all graduated, you know, recently. They're not preparing them for what jobs exist or what jobs could exist, for becoming entrepreneurs, you know, starting their own businesses. It's just, okay, go out onto the world like little those video game characters, that the lemons or something.
Right. It just is.
It's crazy.
It's part, and they want that, right? The government wants that, to dumb us down. We don't think about history. We're not thinking about, because if you're just going along to get along, you're complacent and you're not going to fight back and you're not going to speak up, and just very like mind numbing. Yeah, it's crazy to think about. So even my son, he said, don't I have to go to college to be an engineer? And I'm like, well, cause he's always wanted to be an engineer, but, and I'm not against college for, you know, nursing or things, but I support more of a trade school. Like, we go, and if they have something like that in those fields, like, you can go into nursing through, like, the traditional college where it's still the mumbo jumbo and everything. Or you can have, like, more of the trade school nursing where it's just about nursing. So
that's the one where they go all into vaccines and what's in them and why they were created, right?
No, I wish. That was, yeah. That, and that's another hard part of having a child with a rare disease. Like, I could go on for hours about the medical community and the worries that are happening there. But
yeah, I was thinking that when you were talking in the beginning of the podcast as well, your eyes probably got opened up initially because you saw kind of the glitches in the healthcare system, so that when COVID came about, you were like a little bit more prepared almost that, like, well, we can't just trust someone in a white coat. They're telling you something that someone above them told them to tell me.
Right. I wish I could say that. No, I think I was more where you were. Although I had never voted, God, so ridiculous. I remember doing a post specifically about Bill Gates and almost like writing for Bill, I guess. Like, oh, do you really think this person would do this? Like, you have all this money and just so, so unaware. And I kind of would like to go back there sometimes, right? Because once you realize how nefarious and evil things are, it's exhausting.
Yes. So you're that guy in the Matrix that tries to get back in the Matrix.
Yeah. Sometimes I would like to go back there just for like a few weeks or something. Like, you just need a break from it all because it is exhausting.
Are you trying to pick a curriculum but feel a little overwhelmed at the variety of options? Me too. I mean, how do you pick a curriculum when you don't know what each one has to offer? That's been my biggest problem. Well, I am here to help. I just launched a premium content series. Psst, that means it's $3 a month, which will just help cover the cost of running the podcast. In my curriculum series, I interview homeschooling students and parents and curriculum creators about specific curriculum each week so that you can take the guesswork out of your curriculum choices. I'll be asking questions like, what does the day-to-day look like with this curriculum? What does it cover from a bird's eye view? How long does one lesson take to complete? How many lessons does the curriculum contain and what does it cost? Did you have to order the book or could you download them and print them somewhere like your library? Does this curriculum have a lot of games, writing, or crafts? And did your child enjoy this curriculum? Can you do it with more than one child at a time? And if I did this curriculum with my child, would I need to add any sort of supplements to it? These are all questions that I've had while I search for the perfect curriculum to suit my son's personality and my expectations. Let's face it, there is no one curriculum out there that will work best for every child and adult. So I invite you to join me in my search to find out what every curriculum has to offer so that you can feel confident in your curriculum choices and enjoy your homeschooling journey that much more. Right where you find all of the Homeschool How To podcast episodes, you'll see my curriculum series and you can subscribe today.
So yeah, by the time they came, like with the vaccines, like the 2 weeks to spread, I was kind of like, okay, you know, we had just taken in our daughter at 10 days old. And I think like 3 weeks later, everything shut down. I have a daughter with a rare disease. I don't even know that I'd heard the word pandemic before, maybe in like fourth grade or something. Like, it wasn't on my radar. So I was definitely, but I was a stay-at-home mom. So I'm like, okay, we're just going to just chill right in here and kind of whatever. I didn't watch the news. So I think that helped tremendously. I remember specifically when they said TJ Maxx, they opened TJ Maxx. So I could go, I could shop, I could sniff candles for 8 hours, but I still could not get a haircut for my kids and I had to cut it myself. And that was traumatizing. And it still is traumatizing. Paisley ended up looking like a boy. And take it back a little bit, I'm completely unaware that this whole transgender world exists. Completely unaware. I have no idea that this is going on. So I've just made my beautiful daughter look like a boy because of a haircut I had to give her because I couldn't go get her hair cut, but I could go to TJ Maxx. And that's when I really started being like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm really not feeling all of this. You know, it was just a little tiny bit. The shades are pulled. And then it went from that to like pretty quickly. So I think
watching Fall of Cabal and
oh yes, yes, and oh, my stupid Bill Gates post. I'm still so angry about that. So yeah, I think by the time you know masks and things, the masks and vaccines, I was already. So I don't think initially that I thought of it as like the medical community. Does that make sense? Like, it was just more of like a government issue. So it hadn't connected for me of like, oh, this is also like big pharma and things like that. But yeah, once I started like opening my eyes, I'm like, ah, trust this, like you aren't the science. So those things. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Thank you so much for sharing that story with us today, because I bet you that there are a lot of people that have similar stories. Just from you talking to that woman in CORE and her being like, you know, this happens way more than you think. So I think parents, especially if homeschooling is keeps exploding like it is, we do have to know what the law is and make sure that the laws don't change. And I know it's so hard because it's so easy to feel like, well, you know, if the elections are rigged or whatever, why even vote? But like, don't worry about the big ones. Worry about our local elections and like the ones that actually have to do with, you know, our school districts, our laws here, our state, you know, hopefully there's some honor in those elections because, yeah, we don't want to lose. It used to be illegal to homeschool. And I know in New York, like a couple decades ago. So we just don't ever want to go back there. So and when we are intimidated by these people, to know what the laws are right now and what our rights are is so important. So I will, again, leave a link for HSLDA in the show's description, just so people know where they can go to get the law.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think I was blown away by what happened. So, and that's what I kept saying. Like, if I kind of took a step back, I imagine other parents who aren't the throw down kind of hood, I could be, you know, a little classy, a little hood type, that they would be scared and that they would stop. So, and also I think a lot of either cities or even states have, like Ohio has a great Facebook homeschooling resources, and they do include the one that you talked about to reach out to them, but look for those in if you don't have a suspended account on Facebook, for like your local state.
If you don't have a suspect.
Yeah, if you're not in Facebook jail. So, it's a joke that my friend, because my son and I actually were in D.C. January 6th. So I'm like, I went from never registering to vote to being on, you know, a domestic terrorist. She was like, well, that escalated quickly. And I'm like, apparently. So, yeah, we did nothing.
I'm glad you're horrible. Safe. Maybe... keep your RV parked for this election, okay? I have a feeling it's going to get crazy in the next year.
It is. Well, Colorado, where we're at, is good to be because we're surrounded by 3 military bases. So they're, even though they've tried to get rid of as many as...
I don't know if that's good. I don't know that I'd want to be. I don't know that I'd want to be around 3 military bases.
Well, our neighbor is from the military. And
then again, I'm near New York City, so.
Right. So you don't want to be near your military bases. You don't want to be in New York at all for that. But yeah, so I know. Just people are waking up and we have to pray. We have religious freedom in this country, but our country, no matter what anybody wants to say, was founded on the Christian values, and we've got to get back to that as a country. And then whatever, if you want to worship Satan, worship him, but the laws are dictated by the Christian values. So we got to pray and keep sharing information, because, you know, I hadn't voted. 2020 was my first time, and what a year to vote. I'm like, that was imagine coming into that and that being your first vote. That was, yeah, there will be more like me and more like you that will.
But you're so right. You know, even when you think about just the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, we say one nation under God, and then even our money, it says in God we trust. So you are so right about it being centered on, you know, the Christian being of God's God-given rights that we have. That is so true. And I think we forget about it, and they definitely dumb us down in school and make us try to forget about that.
Yep.
But thank you so much for being on today, Jen. Your story, I think, is going to help a lot of people and have them prepared. So I, you know, just thank you. And I hope everything goes well with your daughter and she stays healthy and, you know, doesn't experience any more seizures, because that's got to be so terrible to live through. So you've given all of us strength today on both fronts.
Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate your time. And I love that I just heard the New York accent for the first time. So
my husband asked me earlier, why do you talk like that? I'm like, I don't know. I think the Long Islanders infiltrated the University at Albany where I went to school. And so I say coffee kind of funny and talk. But it's not, that's, I'm from upstate New York. Like, I shouldn't have that accent.
Wait, when you said, I can't remember what word you said, but I heard it. And I'll let you go after this. But when I was 12, my great-grandma would stay with, like, her different, she was like the traveling Gigi. She'd go stay with the different of her children. So my grandma in Ohio and I went to pick her up from Long Island when I was 12. And my mom said I came home and I was like, Ma, I need you to get my coffee and go pack my car. And she's like, woo. And to this day, if one beer, we'll say two beers, then all of people are like, you from New York? And I'm like, no, why? So it's funny that you say that. Upstate, because I'm from Ohio and I still get that.
Yeah. And it like stays with you because I mean, I graduated like almost 20 years ago. So it does. It comes in spurts. But yeah, I'm from like near Albany. So I shouldn't have an accent.
Yes. Well, it's a good accent and good pizza.
Oh, so thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Listen, when they come to intimidate me, then I'm really going to bring out the accent.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. All right. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.